I want us to read 1 Samuel 30. Now, I have to refer in a lot of ways the first partner service I was ever in my life. I was a driver. I was driving the car, but the team called him the Reverend. I never did. I don't know. He's my spiritual father, and to me, he was Brother Roberts. But anyway, I was driving and I drove his car and went to the first partnership service I was ever in. And this one just really stood out in front of me. It came to pass when David and his men were at Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites and so forth and so on had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David said to the people that were with him, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's wives were taken captive, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now that shows you what David was made out of. He encouraged himself in the Lord. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he said, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor. Now, the King James calls this a brook. That is very, very misleading. It was not a brook. Even when it was dry, it was a deep canyon. At this time, it was not. It was a river. Do we have the picture of that, please? Now, that's it when it's dry. Now, can you imagine going through there with a lot of cattle? And you've already been on a forced march with all the cattle. That's your supply. Now, here it is when the rains are up. That's a bridge going over that river right there in Israel. So don't let the word brook throw you. And praise God. And so he said, "And without fail you recover all." So David and the 600 men that were with him came to the river, and those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men of 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over that river. They couldn't do that. This was a forced march. Now, we've been talking about military. All of you in the military know what a forced march is. Now, I'm talking about the United States Army. At the time that I was in, I expect it's the same now, that you are guaranteed 2 hours of sleep a night. Now, if it's a forced march, you don't get that. You go around the clock. Such as was the case at the Battle of the Bulge, when Patton was head of Third Army. And they went around the clock until they could rescue the 101st Airborne. So this was a forced march. They kept on until they caught up with them. And then they, verse 17, "And David smote them from twilight evening unto the evening of the next day." They fought all night long. after a forced march. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and ran off. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons or daughters, and so forth. Verse 21. David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, and they may lead them away and depart. And then David said, you shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord hath given us, who has preserved us and delivered us, the company that came against us into our land, who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarries by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance in Israel until this day. I heard Oral Roberts preach that. And he said, my partners that stay behind share equally with me and with this ministry in every heavenly and earthly reward, equally. Amen. And then you remember Jesus said this, if you accept a prophet because he is a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Praise God. And I mentioned this last night. A young woman in Alabama, 14th of this month, is celebrating her 100th birthday. And she's been a partner since 1967. Amen. Glory to God. Now, all of these years, I wonder how many times she's heard this message. I don't know. A lot. Amen. Because the Lord commissioned me and instructed me to teach it every partner service and bring it up. Bring it up during the meetings and so forth. Hallelujah. Now, God's prosperity mathematics doesn't flow human mathematics. Amen. Do you realize that if he walked in here this morning and said, isn't this a wonderful Tuesday? Isn't this a wonderful Sunday? No, this is Friday. Not anymore, isn't it? All the calendars just changed. Because his word is. Praise God. So it works like this. Let me give you an illustration. Ever so often, a pitcher pitches a perfect game. Not very often. Where no one goes to first base. Nobody. But it happens. It has happened over the years. Did the pitcher win the game? Now, wait a minute. He had to have a catcher. So, no, he didn't win the game. And the whole team was there. And the trophy has all of the team members on the trophy, not just the name of the pitcher and the catcher. Amen. Because all of them were there. All of them were on field and all of them in place to do their job. That's an analogy of that. This partnership is a team. We're in this together. And you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. Do you like my suit? Yes. You should. You paid for it. Well, yeah, well, of course. So which one is the most important? The one that preached the message or the one that bought the clothes? You have to have both. The one that preached the message or the one that bought the fuel in the airplane when we came. You have to have both.
Amen.
You can't have just one. Amen. Amen. I learned that from Oral Roberts. And that day, oh, I wanted to be a partner. Oh, and he said, I'll pray for you every day. And I thought, he's going to pray for me every day? If I'm a partner, what am I going to do? I don't have any money. But I stuck my hand up, and he's talking about $10 a month. $10 a month. And he said, if you don't receive at least that $120 that year from unexpected sources, you let me know and I'll send you money back. I asked him, I said, did anybody ever want it back? He said, not a one.
Wow, glory.
Not a one.
Hallelujah.
And I took that deal, but I didn't have any money. But I stuck up my hand anyway. And they handed little manila envelopes with a little pencil in it to fill out. They were church envelopes. And they used to have these, particularly in country churches, Pentecostal churches. And everybody didn't have a ballpoint in their pocket. There was no such thing as a ballpoint. I remember the first ballpoint pen I ever saw. And it had a little hole in the top of it where you could blow the ink back down to the ball. It was about that long. It worked about half the time. Everybody used pencils back there then. So I filled out the little envelope with my pencil. It was about that long. And stuck it in there for $10 a month and put it in the offering container. Well, you know, I'm supposed to be driving the car and he's on his way out. I got to get on the move here. So I put my envelope in the offering container. And I turned to go. And I keep telling this every time. I'm telling you, if this woman's not in heaven, she's going to see this one of these days and call me. And she was about right there. She was a black woman. And I would say she was probably, she was young. I'd say, you know, probably 30 years old or so. And we're in Georgia. If I remember right, we were in Macon, Georgia. Anyway, I know we weren't in Atlanta. But anyway, she said, hey, you. And I turned around, yeah, you. The Lord been wanting me this whole meeting to give you $10. I said, old lady, give it here. I wish I'd have stopped and said, what is your good looking name, girl? I was so excited and I didn't have time. I ran over there to the usher, got my pencil, stuck it in my pocket and put the $10 in the envelope. I'm a partner.
Amen.
Glory to God. Jesse Duplantis said this ministry started with a wooden pencil. And in a way it did.
Wow.
And I got home. I said, Gloria, we are partners with Oral Roberts for $10 a month. She looked at me. She said, Kenneth. Now, a lot of times she calls me Ken, but when she's serious, she called me Kenneth. She said, Kenneth, where on earth are we going to get $10 a month? Well, I realized she hadn't heard the message. So I said, sit down here, girl. And I preached it just as close as I could, particularly from there in 1 Samuel 30. And he's going to pray for us every day. Glory to God. And his anointing. And my bottom line was, by the time I re-preached it, I was excited. I said, Gloria, we can have Oral Roberts' anointing for $10 a month. And it worked. And I'll tell you this one, and then we'll close. And you can see that that statute in operation in all of these different places we've talked about. And then we went to Oklahoma City to preach, and all of the money was in the gas tank. I did not have a dime on me. Both kids in the back seat, not kids, they're not goats, both children in the back seat. I made a strong decision not to use that anymore for children. I don't like that. Well, I'll do this for your kids and that for your kids. No, they're children. You won't find that in the Bible. It does not use that word. It calls them children. And we are God's children. We are not God's kids. We're not his goats. Anyway. And they said, Daddy, we're hungry. When are we going to eat? And I said, anytime now. And they kept on with that. I said, just anytime now. We're going to eat. Came into Oklahoma City. Back in those days, there's just two-lane highway. But then as it got into the edge, the south edge of the city, that highway went into four lanes and a signal light there. And just fast food alley. This was back when the Sizzler sign was a huge Hereford bull. Do you know where the Hereford bull came from? England. And a rancher from Hereford, Texas, which is in the panhandle of Texas up in the north end of the country, and it is still a big cattle area. The first Hereford bull in the United States was in Hereford, Texas. And he was bred not to have horns. Just thought you might want to know. Now, in England, it's Hereford. No, it ain't. It's Hereford. Hey, I preached in Hereford. Good time there. Well, the Sizzler had this big Hereford bull. Bat out. That was their big sign out front. So when the highway divided like that, and I just saw it blow across the road, and I hollered, I said, money! Gloria said, where? I said, I saw it blow across the road. So I got in the left lane, went back, turned around, started again, and got over on the right side, driving really slow. And there it was. You talk about unexpected sources. A cyclone fence right by the side of the road, and I peeled my $20 bill off of that fence. And back then, you could eat all day long on $20.
Amen.
I said, kids, where do you want to eat? The bull! So we went back around. $2 for Jesus. $10 for oral. And we had the rest. And we ate well. And we had a wonderful meeting. And we had more than enough money after the meeting to drive home and eat wherever we would like. But we started back in those days just taking that $10 out. Just the minute we got it, we just took it out. We tithed and took out that 10. Now, we still support Oral Roberts University. We still support Richard Roberts. Richard and Lindsay are very, very, very close friends. My little granddaughter, Lindsay, was named after Lindsay Roberts. She has a new book coming out, written to women, to know your real worth as a woman. Hallelujah. It is a great book. You need to look for it. Turn to the book of Philippians and we'll wrap this up. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to all the saints in the Anointed Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He used joy 19 times in this book, even though he was in one of the nastiest prisons he was ever in his life. And it lets you know some things that he said in this book. It gives you really real insight into why he said what he said. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now in Luke 5:7, that word fellowship is translated partners. Partnership. You have to remember, this is the King James translation of the Bible. And that word fellowship was used as partnership, where people would go into a fellowship together to do what neither of the two could do alone. Well, they became partners. In the United States, it's always been called partnership, but in England, it was a fellowship. But the Greek word is the same. So that just, and you read other translations, it just says partnership here. Well, that's what a partnership is people coming together to get a job done that none of us could do alone. For instance, if God instructed, they know back there, then it was $10 a month. So if God instructed you to give $10 a month, 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 that's $40, right? Not in heaven. This is a team. This is a four-person team. The team has given $40. So each of them is credited with $40. And when you go where we went last night to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, for my sake in the gospel. So each one of the members of this team, for the sake of Jesus and his gospel, the hundredfold is on $40. $40. $40 and $40.
Amen.
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 So the team has put $160 in there. Glory to God. But that's what this is about. So, and you'll see in a few moments, I don't know how many people each one of these people have personally won to the Lord Jesus. But each one of you that are partners, it is recorded by your name in heaven as a partner to this ministry. It is written down that you personally have won over 100 million people to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise.
Woo. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, You all are partakers of my grace. You are all partakers. You are all partakers. You are all partakers of my grace. Amen. Now, Oral Roberts, oh, I'm telling you, his partners were everything. And the way he talked about them. Well, I grew up in the spirit being that way. And when the children were young, and Terry and John and Kelly, I mean, when they were young, it was like our partners were kinfolks. And I remember one time, I don't remember what we were doing, but there was going to be something put together for the partners that were coming. And they had these little crummy cheese sandwiches. Yeah. I said, what are these? Well, they're for the partners. I said, no, they're not. I said, you can eat this trash if you want to, but not my partners. Now, you get these out of here and get something good here to eat. But I said, oh, no, huh, no. You don't feed my family like this. You don't do that. And after a while, it became very clear around there that this is family. This is family. And some of them just live a little further from the house than others do. Particularly the ones in Singapore and Australia, you know, in Germany. But we're partners. We're family. Glory to God. Even as able for me to think this of you all, I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. In my bonds, hey, what happened here at Philippi? This small town of Philippi was a Roman town, a military town. And a small town, but the Roman military ran everything there. And we know what happened there one night. They had Paul and Silas in stocks, chains, beat nearly to death. And at midnight, they were praying, yes, but they were praising God, and all the prisoners heard them.
That's right, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And an earthquake hit that place and that place only. And all of the chains fell off all the prisoners, and the anointing was so powerful, none of them could move. The jailer, which is now the pastor of this church, started to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners were gone. And he'd die a slow, agonizing death at the hands of the Romans. So he started to kill himself. And the Apostle Paul said, no, no, don't be doing that. We are all here. How did he know they were all there? The earthquake came out of him. Well, yeah, it wasn't anywhere else. I mean, they have excavated that place. They found the evidence of the earthquake right there and no place else. Trying to prove the Bible wrong. But it's just like he said. He said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Well, this became a convict church. So they said, well, just tell him to go on. He said, no, you don't. You're going to come down here and apologize to me. He said, I am a Roman citizen. They said, oh, what have we done? No. He said, you're going to come apologize to me personally. So it marked that whole area. God, what a man. Don't you love him? Glory to God. So, both in my bonds and in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Well, what did Jesus say about the confirmation of the gospel? Last chapter of the book of Mark. Yes. They went everywhere. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. In my name, the believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they'll cast out the devil. In my name, they take up serpents and it'll not hurt them. In my name, drink anything deadly. It will not harm them. In my name, say it, in my name. I'm a believer. He didn't say the prophets. He didn't say the pastors. He said the believer. Glory to God. Amen. We can expect the same thing. It works better on the street than it does in church. It works in church, but it works on the street. Amen. Oh, glory to God. As the Lord has led, I've walked up to people on the street. Just walk up to them and said, I believe I'm supposed to pray for you. Well, get on with it. Yeah, let's do this thing.
Amen. Glory.
Never had it turned down, not one time. One time I did. I was in Las Vegas and we were having a meeting there in a casino. Brother Copeland, you mean you me preach in a casino?
Yes, we need it.
Amen. Yes. Yeah. At the invitation of the owner of the casino.
Amen. Amen.
Because anyway, Brother Cochran, C.C. Ryder, had gotten born again. And he called me. He said, Brother Kenneth, he said, I got saved. He said, but now I got to tell you, I stole the Bible that where I got saved. He stole it? Yeah, he said, I was in a hotel room. I said, was it a Gideon Bible? Yeah, that's what it was. I said, you were supposed to take that Bible. Really? Amen. So he led the owner of the casino to the Lord, and then he said, I need to do something for Jesus, and all I've got is this old hotel. You think Brother Copeland would come hold a meeting in an old place like this? He said, well, yeah. So, oh, what an experience that was. And I was back behind the curtain there in the area where they had the stage where the bands perform and so forth. And back there then we had our full band there. And there was a blackjack dealer stuck his head through the curtain, had his little bow tie hanging on the quilt. He said, Brother Copeland, we're praying for you. He said, I have to be on the floor tonight. But he said, there's a bunch of us that are believing God for you. He said, you just keep preaching Jesus, brother. And there was a church sued me because I came there without asking them first. But I found out the place was just full of believers. Anyway, I left and was walking I don't really remember now. Well, I was going to or from, anyway, I was fully dressed. A nice looking couple walking down, the Lord said, I want you to speak a word to that couple. So I said, excuse me. I said, I believe the Lord would have me speak a word to you. May I have permission? They said, well, of course. And so I spoke exactly what, and they smiled and said, thank you. Walked on. I thought, well, I did, you know. And so I started to go up, and there's a guy standing there about just 3 or 4 steps away. I hadn't noticed him. And he was leaning up against the wall. He said, I heard what you said. He said, you pray for me? I said, sure, I'll pray for you. He said, just go in here. Well, the men's room is right there, so I just held the door open. He went in there. He said, pray for me, man. I laid my hands on him, and the power of God, I want you to know, it hit him. I mean, he just jarred him and shook him, and in that quick, he was sober.
Hallelujah.
Of course, I prayed in the spirit because I didn't have any idea what to pray for him. He said, my God, brother. He said, I'm a backslid Pentecostal preacher. And he said, you saved my life. You don't ever know who's listening when you're following God on the street.
Amen.
Amen. So always listening, always ready. Anyway, he said, look at the 19th verse. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be manifested in my body, whether it be life or death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I know not. For I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. Now, he's already called them his partners. I believe he made that decision while he's writing the letter. I can't leave here yet. I'd like to get out of here. Well, of course he would. He'd been beaten, whipped, and he wanted to get out of there. But he couldn't. Couldn't leave his partners. Look, come on over with me. This little book is only 4 chapters long. Just sit down and read it as a letter. Just read the letter. Verse 13, brethren, I count myself to apprehended. But this one thing, you notice, I do is in italics. That means it was added by the translators. Well, if they added it, we can take it out. And in this case, it shouldn't have been in there. And there, you have to remember this. Look at the Greek alphabet sometime. Now, my daughter, Jenny, married a young Greek man. They live in Thessaloniki. They just had a young baby boy. In English, his name is Andrew. So, I have a great grandson that's a Thessalonian. Jenny started an orphanage there and called it Abba House. Amazing. Anyway, the two of the sisters and cousins came over, and so Jenny said, Papa, I want you to meet 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Wonderful, wonderful people. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. The fourth chapter, 13th verse. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through the anointed one and his anointing, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. That receiving can also be translated receipting, like a cash receipt. Oral Roberts had laid hands on so many people that it tore up his shoulders. Some people say, I just don't understand. All that healing power coming through those arms and he had to have them operated on. Listen, healing is not a reward. I don't care if the person that's receiving it or the person that's ministering it. It has to be received by faith.
Amen.
But when you lay hands on 2 million people, that'll tear up something. Now, there's a heavenly reward for it.
Amen. Glory to God.
But he had surgery done on those shoulders and just kept going. Well, he had a tough attack of appendicitis. So he was in the hospital. And Richard and the doctor were looking at it through the x-ray scope just behind the screen there where he was on the table inside there. And he was lying there and he said, Lord, I've sown a lot of seed over the years. The seed giving was a revelation to him before the miracle ministry was. At the very, very beginning, he went into the healing ministry after that to sow a seed. He told me many times, he said, Kenneth, don't do anything without you sow the seed first.
Glory.
So, and name it, whatever it is. He said, I was just laying there on that gurney, that bed. And I said, Lord, I've had all the surgery I'm going to have. Not having that anymore. I'm cashing in some receipts. I said, I've sowed a lot of seed. Receiving and receipting. And the doctor and Richard, the doctor said, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Richard said, I am. The appendix just... He cashed a receipt. Carolyn Savelle's dad, Olin Creech, called me one time. Now, he was in the concrete business. He was in home, it was in construction and reconstruction, remodeling homes and so forth. And he called me and he said, Kenneth, that looks like I can't buy a job. I said, Olin, do you keep your tithes stubs on your tithing checks in your business and personally? Yes, he said, I do. I said, are you where it's handy? Yeah. I said, well, get it. So I heard him rustling around there and he got it. I said, all right, single out those tithe check stubs. Okay, he said, I have it. I said, all right, you hold that up. Then I went to Malachi 3. And the destroyer will be rebuked for your sake. because you're a tither. And so he and I agreed and rebuked the devourer. And I said, Satan, there is written evidence right there, this tither. Now get your hands off his business. So a few days went by and I thought about it and I called him. I said, Olin, what about it? Kenneth, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said, how do you turn this off? He said, man, they're just coming at me from every direction. He said, I've got more business than I know what to do with. And it never did back up. It never did back up again from the time he went home. And I will have you to know his wife is still here going strong, over 90 years old. Glory to God. Keeps her own yard, mows her own yard, just gets out and just has a big time. Amen. Come on. They've been partners of this ministry for all those years. You only, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You get that? I desire fruit that may abound to your account. We have heavenly accounts. God keeps record. Amen. I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to Wall Street, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is our heavenly financier. Glory to God. He is our Melchizedek. My God. He could have just said God. But he said, my God shall supply all of your need. So you will receive on the level of an apostle. My God shall supply all your need according to Paul. No. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And I don't care what it is. Healing, prosperity. I don't care. I don't care what it is. But this is a team effort, glory to God. And there are several that I just always jump into my mind when I think about them. And one woman in Dallas a number of years ago at a signal light, not a stop light. It's a go light as much as it is a stop light. It's a signal light, okay. Why do you want to be so picky? Well, I am picky. It matters what you say. Anyway, standing at this signal light, when it changed, she stepped off the curb and she said her ankle popped. You could hear it. She said, I know I broke my ankle. She could hardly stand on it. And and the first thing that came out of her mouth was, glory to God. I know the Copelands are praying for me and the ministry's praying for me. I'm a partner and I believe I received the healing of my ankle. And by the time she got to the other side, it was completely healed. But she took advantage of it. That's what I'm talking to you about today. It's taking advantage of it. Praise God. And I pray for you. Every meal, I pray for you. And at night, we leave the dinner table and head back to our bedroom. And I stop off in my study. I say, come on, Gloria, let's go in here and say goodnight to our partners. And I just stand there and watch you drift through my study. And I used to have to imagine you. Now I can see you. And get up there close and look right into your eyes. I can get this close and your picture's this big. You're just drifting through the room. And then I try to write my partner in there with you looking over my shoulder. It's, there they are. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. And my word to you is another one. I can just see this young man in my mind. He comes. I was preaching in Venezuela. And I got back from the venue to the hotel and walked in there. And he was waiting there. He was waiting when I came through the front door. And so, and he just walked up there to me. Brother Coblan. And I said, yes, sir. He said, may I speak to you, please? I said, come walk with me. I said, what? He said, Brother Coblan, I am your partner. And he said, mi hijo. He was very sick, his little boy. He said, he was very sick. And he said, I want to pray for him. But he said, I walk up to him and I say to God, I say, I'm Brother Copeland's partner. And so he said, I pray for my boy. But I said, Brother Copeland is praying for me today. And I pray for my boy. And he said, you know what? He got healed too. He took advantage of his partnership. Most people don't. All of you should. Amen. Because you're on our mind every day. And the different departments of Kenneth Copeland Ministries pray for you every day. I mean, and the partner people that print the partner letter in them and the whole thing. The whole ministry prays for you all the time. Different departments. Because without you, they don't get paid. No, that's that's not the reason. In times past, we have had employees that I'm sad to say that did not appreciate that. And guess where they're working today? I have no idea, but it's not there. There were people that said, no, we don't take time to pray for all that. You need to work. You need to work. No, just go find you another place to work. If you don't appreciate the partners, you don't appreciate me. You don't appreciate Gloria. You don't appreciate George and Terry. You don't appreciate them as pastors. You don't appreciate them. You just need to go find you a job someplace where you'd be more happy. But if you're going to mistreat my partners, you're mistreating me. Mm-mm. That's like talking ugly about my children or my wife or God. Not around EMIC, not around KCM, not around the Victory Channel. Praise God forever.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you today. Now, there are some things here that I want you to see. And hang on here just a minute. I made sure I preached long enough with that. So I have some things I want you to watch on the screen, please.
I'm Kevin Hostetler. This is my wife, Joan. We are from Central West Virginia. We pastor a small church in Parsons. And I have two businesses, one in Parsons, one in Valley Bend. They're about 45 minutes apart. I have been a funeral director for 30 years. One of the things when Joan and I met, I was serving an apprenticeship. And I became a licensed funeral director in 2015. We purchased the two funeral homes that I worked at. One of the things that I said we're going to do is we're going to pay basically a tithe out of the funeral home. And we began to do that. And it's grown every year. We had a record year last year. But it's the partnership that teaches me to not only because we sow into the ministry, but it teaches me how to treat people. Everyone, to treat everyone with respect. And that's one of the things that we work, we strive to be able to help the people of our community and do what we can for them. So we, in doing that, you know, to fulfill the Great Commission to love God and love people, to honor our community. And so it's made quite a difference. My dad pastored a church where I met Joan. We married shortly thereafter, and Dad continued to pastor there for 22 years. There was an interim pastor there for 7 years. And last year, in the middle of the pandemic, we had been going to church there, and the pastor had resigned. So I talked to our overseer and mentioned that, you know, if he needed some help or with the church, I'd be willing to step in and do what I could. Well, he called and said, "Step in, please," and appointed us as pastors in July this year, or last year, at July 26th. This gives me an opportunity to bring a word of faith to our community. In the late 70s, when my dad became a pastor, he began really searching. He really searched, and he came across Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Fred Price, different ministries that resonated with him, and he began to study and to really get a hold of that. You know, I grew up hearing my dad talk about it. I grew up, you know, we watched the broadcast whenever it was on. I see the magazines coming in. Dad would have books and tapes. You know, it intrigued me because it wasn't something that I'd heard in our traditional churches, and just there's something more to it. There is such an anointed connection that brings us to a place that is helping us to teach our people, you know, this is what God wants for you. It's that love. It's because we've sown into this, but now we're seeing a love connection as far as the love of Christ from the ministry to us that we can share to our community. And people are seeing, you know, and feeling it. The critical point was when BVOVN started. And that came on. And when it came on, because we have Dish, and when we saw that come on, it was just instantly, there's everybody we listen to.
We just saturated ourselves with it all the time. And on down the line, the partnership, realizing how important partnership is and aligning yourself up with ministries, how powerful that could be, the partnership.
The partnership to me is so valuable because now when I'm faced with things or whatever, I can call. There's a connection. There's no doubt that because of the partnership, I know that people are praying for us to succeed as we are praying for, you know, the ministry to succeed. And when I hear Brother Copeland say that, you know, because of your partnership, any person that is saved into this ministry, you're part of, man, it gets all over me.
Once you really learn about the partnership, it was, why not be a part? Because I can't reach that many people where I'm at, but supporting these ministries that do go all over the world, we have a piece in that because we are partners.
Think about a funeral director that is versed in the word of faith. Not only to help the families, because he knows and she knows and has insight into life and death. And he not only can minister to those families, but think about, I mean, he has to deal with this day in and day out all the time. So it keeps him and keeps his family up on the word of faith all the time. That amazingly helped me. Now, this one, I said to this before, I said to this, it matters where you go to church. It matters what happens at church. It matters what happens when a tragedy strikes the church and how the church responds. And when you have a word of faith church family around you, it makes all the difference in the world. And I've said this years after year after year after year. Find out where your sheepfold is and go get in it. Amen. And I also learned this from my dear brother Cochran, who pastored. Now, you know, he was old C.C. Ryder during the rock and roll days. But then he became a pastor. And he said, you know, you may be a roofing church. But another church there in town is a plumbing church. And you get a plumber in the roofing church, and he's going to criticize everything you say. Because he said he would, you know, he's actually a roofer in a plumbing church, so he's liable to want to put the toilet on top of the house. Well, I hadn't thought about it like that. But he said, I've had people like that, and he said I would go talk to them and say, look, let's talk about this. What is it you like? What is it you don't like about what I preach? And what is it you would like to hear me preach? And he said, in a little bit, I can tell right now, you're in the wrong sheepfold. And he said, I know a pastor very well that I think you'd get along with good. Let's go meet him. And he'd go over there and meet him and said, well, yeah. And now he's happy, the other pastor is happy, and my whole congregation's happy. Because we don't have a gripe and grumbler. But watch this.
I did grow up in church, and we were at a local church, and my parents were very involved in the church. But something happened, and my family was hurt and offended at what happened, and we moved to a different church. And the same thing, we ended up leaving. It grew up in me that Brother Copeland talks about a root of bitterness, and it became a tree of bitterness. And it really ruled my whole life. The one thing that we did do, though, was we would listen to the Southwest Believers Convention. I was hearing all these great ministers, but there was something missing without the shepherding. Then I realized that Brother Copeland was going to be in Washington, D.C., and I went to my first victory campaign, first time I ever saw Brother Copeland in person, and he asked, you know, if people want to partner like he does, always the partner service, and I partnered with Kenneth Copeland Ministries when I was in my early 20s, and I was so excited. I actually got my partner packet, and I got that card, and to this day, I carry that card in my wallet, because it meant so much to me to partner with him. And I wanted, you know, my heart's cry was to have a place where that integrity in ministry and that authenticity was on display, but in a local setting. I would hear Brother Copeland say, find out where your church is and get in it, and I don't care if it's on the other side of the world. And he would say it, and it would hit me, and I knew I needed this local church, but then it would come up in me from my past, well, you can't trust a pastor, and that bitterness would come up. And so I would say, well, there's no local church for me. And my husband got a job offer in California. And I just knew it was God. You know, I knew we had to go there. And he was really happy about the job offer, you know. And so I said, all right, let's do it. So we moved to California. And I found out that Brother Copeland was coming to Sacramento to do a victory campaign. You know, I went in just like, I just need the word, you know, I just need to sit under this. And that year, his theme was igniting the fire of faith. and it set my heart on fire, just afresh and anew for the Lord. And I came home with this determination that I'm studying the Word in the morning and at night. And then in September, I heard the Lord say, I want you to go to church on Sunday. So having been to church in ages, I couldn't remember the names of the pastors that Brother Copeland had called up on stage. And the Lord said, go to the KCM website. And so I went on there and I found the partner church locator. And I found Family Community Church with pastors Bill and Cindy Krause. I've been going for over 2 years now. And the Lord has healed the bitterness that was in me. And that bitterness was in all areas of my life. I had the best year ever last year when people were struggling. I got over 30% raise. And it reminded me that Brother Copeland said, when you get in your church, that's where your blessing is. That's where your prosperity is. And that was where my healing was in my thinking, in everything that I'd gone through. And my husband got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's serving God with me now. And he's a different person. I'm a different person. All because I got into the local church, but I did that by partnering with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And that partnership, that covenant partnership, was my tether to something authentic.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Reginald Watts, when he was a junior in college, well, you watch this. You're going to love this.
My name is Reginald Watts. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I had a pretty much leave it to Beaver type of upbringing. So I have no excuses for what I'm about to tell you now. During my last semester as a junior at Texas Southern University, I got hooked on crack cocaine. It wasn't crack at the time, it was freebasing. And I got hooked on drugs. Trying to hide that from family brought on other problems. You tell so many lies and you borrow money from so many people and never pay them back. You run out of friends, your circle gets smaller and smaller. And that's what happened to me. And so I started stealing against the family rules. My first conviction on robbery, they dropped it to an assault charge and gave me credit for time served. I left that year already thinking about how I was going to change. Watch this, not into a righteous person, but how I was going to stop using and start selling drugs. Well, that lasted maybe a week, and I was back to using drugs again and back to robbing. So my next conviction was 2 counts of armed robbery and 1 count of attempted armed robbery. And so they took me to trial. Get this, they gave me 25 years. Vacated the 25 years and gave me life on the Habitual Offender Act, which is legal. And so with the 25 years vacated, they gave me life, L-I-F-E, not 99 to life, not 100 to life, not 50 to life, L-I-F-E. No probation, no parole, no suspension of sentence. So in essence, I was to die in Louisiana State Penitentiary. Every cell had a shelf with a Bible on it. Except for the guys that threw their Bibles out. I didn't throw it out, but I didn't read it. I loved to read. That was the only book they left, purposely. I started reading. It opened up to Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Though you desire to do what's right, this is what got me. How to perform that which is right, you know not how. So I read it again. So now I understand the epiphany. So I do want to do what's right. I always wanted to please my parents. I always wanted to do what was right. And I keep getting back to drugs and stealing and all the stuff that come with it, robbing. And that's when I broke down. And I told God he was right. And I was wrong. And I needed his help. We were in the main prison chapel. It holds over 700 people. They said Kenny Copeland was coming. Well, I'm up moderating that night for the service. And I looked. And it was Kenny Copeland coming in our chapel in Louisiana State Penitentiary. And Kenny Copeland, and he preached that night. I came out of prison after almost 25 years with the sheriff holding one door, the warden of the facility holding the other door, Mike Barber, and his wife standing in front of the door with one of my spiritual mentors named Tapper Sermon. It was amazing. I'm telling you that the power of God, not just to get me out of prison, but to already have my purpose lined up the way that he knew I would accept it. And just to show you the full circle, here I am now at Kenneth Copeland's Southwest Convention. We are directly in debt to Kenneth Copeland Ministry. And Mike Barber always said this. He said, my name is on those study papers we giving y'all. He said, but it's Kenneth Copeland Ministry that allows me to come here. Those that are in the ministry with Kenneth Copeland Ministry, those of you that donate, those of you that give of your time and your finances, it's being used greatly. And so don't ever think that you're not part of it because your name is not there or we don't call your name. If you gave 50 cents to KC Ministry, you have done something big, because it takes money to do the ministry, especially when you go in prison, because we can't give anything back. Prisoners are always receiving. So we're thankful for KC and his ministries and those that have partnered with KC. We thank God for you, not only as pastors, but as chaplains as well.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That was in Angola. I went on to death row, and there was a very big man. I mean, he was big, and he was a black man, and he was standing back in the cell. And I walked up there and I said, "I'm Kenneth Copeland." He said, "I know who you are." I said, "You do?" "Yeah." Well, I didn't think this. The Spirit of God, it just came out of my mouth. I said, "Well, if anybody asks you if you know Kenneth Copeland, you tell him, yeah, he's my brother." And he walked right up to the bars. He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, sir." And led him to the Lord right there. Now, Steve Moran, a serial killer, he kidnapped a woman, and she had one of my tapes in her tape player in her car. And she started to leave that morning and went back and got her scripture tablet and her tape and put it in there. And he kidnapped her. And she just kept telling him, "Lady, I'm going to kill you." She said, "No, you're not. You're not going to kill the only person that ever loved you." And he just kept on screaming and hollering at her. She said, "Well, may I play my tape?" "I don't care what you play. You just shut your mouth." Well, she put that tape in, and I was just preaching faith. But he listened to it, and suddenly he just slammed on his brakes. But this time he's in her car, and they were out in the country. He said, "Who said that?" And he looked around in the back seat. And Maggie said, "What? Said what?" He said, "Somebody said, Stephen, this is your last chance, son." She said, "Stephen, that was God." So she led him to the Lord. And then I baptized him in the Bexar County Jail in San Antonio in water. I mean, you stand beside this tub, and I mean, all of the officers were standing there. He's a bad dude, and just ready. And then we became good friends. And then he told me, he said, "I don't want any appeals. I don't want any of that." He said, "I don't have anybody left. I just want to go home and be with Jesus." So I said, "Stephen, you want to be here a while? You've got time enough to become an expert on prayer." He was a brilliant man. And he did. And everybody that came into prison there, he won them to the Lord. And then they executed him with lethal injection. Now, don't ever get the idea that that's simple and easy. And I visited with him for the last 30 minutes before they executed him. And I said, "Stephen, do me a favor." "Yeah." I said, if grace is sufficient, let me know. Yeah, he said, I'll do that. Well, they had him strapped to that gurney of IVs in both arms. And Warden Harvey, which is also a good friend of mine, spirit-filled warden of the Walls Unit in Huntsville, Texas. And so he and Stephen had become good friends. And so Stephen, he said, Stephen, you have any last words? And I have them with me in my, carry them with me in my book. But anyway, he just started talking. I have the prayer that he prayed. And he said, just think about it. Think about it. And there were other people there that wanted to see him die. And he just kept talking. But you think about what the Holy Ghost did for me. Think about what he can do for you. And finally, the warden said, Stephen, we have to get down to business here, son. Yeah, he said, I know it. Smile on his face the whole time. Now, he's like this. I was as close to him as that speaker, the little rail there in front. I was right behind the rail. And he's up here higher like this, bright lights here. And you could see this large metal box that had the lines coming from it. And he prayed. And when that thing starts, it makes a loud bang. You know you're going to be dead in a few seconds. And when he laid back on there like that, and after that, he went like this. More than enough. Had a smile on his face. And his body lunged like that. And he was gone. I've had a lot of experiences in prison ministry. Just amazing. Over the years. Now, that brings me to this one. This is only a couple of minutes. But this is very, very important, especially right now.
My name is Robin Bolin, and my husband and I pastor Fullness in Christ Church. And we also work with the CAPA program with the Fort Worth Police Department.
I'm Jonas Bolin, and I work with the CAPA.
I'm Officer Brian McClenney with the Fort Worth Police Department, and I'm the CAPA coordinator for the city. CAPA stands for Clergy and Police Alliance. It's a faith-based organization made up of all, any and all denominations.
It's an organization of pastors and ministers that provides pastoral help for the Fort Worth Police Department in really whatever area they need.
7/7 was the day that five officers were shot and killed in Dallas. And CAPA members wanted to take a horrific day and make it a blessing.
This event memorializes those slain officers. This is our fifth year, and we are making 1,500 blessing bags for every officer that works in the city of Fort Worth for the police department.
Our goal is to be sure that every officer in Fort Worth gets a bag that says, thank you, and we're thinking about you, and making it a day in which we honor the police department. Of course, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a large contributor, a large supporter of that. More than anything else, they're grateful for the fact that the community supports them, believes in them, and wants to bless them.
There will be a CAPA member present at every single roll call, and we'll explain to them why we're doing what we're doing. And then we pass out the bags, and then we pray over the roll call. It's a pretty special day for the police officers, but it's good for us, too, to be able to give and to show an appreciation to people that they really need our appreciation and support, especially right now.
It's a small gesture, but it cuts deeply. We're very grateful.
That's important. Now, you can get some insight into all of this horrible things that are said about the police. And there are policemen that are less than what they should be. But come on. In what group of people is there not? But when you read the 13th chapter of Romans, you begin to realize why the devil is so hot on their trail. Because according to that, they are ministers of God for our good, and they don't wear the sword in vain. So they need to be treated well.
Amen.
And over the years, I've made it a point to every time I come into a restaurant, if there's a police officer in there, no police officer buys a meal in my presence. I will pay for their meals, and I've had them tell me, no, no, no. I said, no, hey, give me the check. I'm a citizen here. And they hand me the check. And I find military people in the airport, of some pilots are like, no, hey, they're not gonna buy a meal while I'm around. And there's been times I've walked in and found a bunch of them that had just flown in. And, you know, thank God I carry a couple of $100 in my pocket all the time just for things like that. And just walk over there and look around, find the highest rank in the room, call him over there and say, Captain, I'm going to hand you guys go have lunch on me. Sir, don't argue with me. I'm a citizen. Amen. He doesn't wear the sword in vain. But always tell them where you come from. I just tell them, I said, look, I'm a preacher, used to be in the Army, and I love you. Tell the policeman that. I remember one time I took John and Kelly up to the table. There were four policemen sitting there. And I said, now, Kelly and John, you see these men? They are your best friend. And if you ever need anything, you holler. They'll help you. And one of them, his eyes teared up. And he said, we don't hear that very often. Well, they should hear it every day. Amen. Glory to God. And so that's important. Now then, this is very, very important. Aliyah is just simply Hebrew for going higher. And Jews coming home is called Aliyah. So watch this, please. This is very
important.
Pastor
Terry has been talking to me about Aliyah for at least 3 years. In part of my job is we work on benevolent giving in Israel. She said, I want to know, you know, part of Julie, what I want you to focus in on is where is God's finger pointing for Kenneth Copeland Ministries to help in Israel? So where is that for us? And so we spent time praying about it and looking at various things, and we always came back to helping with Aliyah. The more that we got into helping with Aliyah, the more that we saw how passionate God's heart was about it. Today, when you hear the word Aliyah, what that's usually referring to is the ingathering of the exiles or the Jews coming home to their ancestral homeland. God says in His word for the Jewish people that He's going to pipe for them to come home. And so you do meet a lot of Jews that are living in the United States or living in other countries who tell stories of, we heard a voice in our ear, we had a dream, we just felt like we were supposed to come back to the land. And so I think it's the spiritual connection for most people. That's like it's a sense of like I'm stepping into what God has for me. And so it helps them to overlook the obvious difficulties. I think for other people, because of anti-Semitism, that you do see Jews who are like, you know what, I don't want to fight the fight of being who I am every day and have to hide it in some cases. So I want to live where I know that people want me and I can live free. I have a lot of good, close friends in Israel that I keep in contact with. Everybody that we knew that was in tourism was out of work. It's really like a sad state of affairs over there. And so I was looking for what was God in. And so I had the thought, I wonder if the Israeli government, if they knew what we wanted to do for Israel and for the Jewish people, and they knew that we wanted to come and record it and be a part of it and show it to our partners, if they would give me permission to enter. So like 2 days later, suddenly I get a phone call from a man named Shmulek from Jerusalem. And he was like, are you serious? I'm crying out to God for a miracle. He said, and then I hear about Julie and Pastor Terry from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and we didn't even know you existed. And he said, tell me there's not a God. And so we started, you know, talking, and he said, okay, if I give you the green light, how long before, you know, the money is available? And I said, I don't know, 3 days? And he was like, oh, you're serious? I'm like, yes, I'm serious. So he said, let me work through the bureaucracy and see about getting you in. In that circumstance, Shmulek got me a VIP entry into Israel, the quickest, easiest entry I've ever had. I had to do a 14-day quarantine. But then while the nation was locked down, we met at Ben-Gurion Airport. He got us all the way to the jet bridge of the plane so that we could see with our own eyes these French Jews making Aliyah when nobody else was entering Israel, and God made a way through Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the partners at Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Eagle Mountain International Church to bring this group of Jews from France to Israel to start their new lives. God has made a way where there wasn't a way, and God is increasing the presence of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the footprint and the outreach that's possible over there according to his path and his way, and we're just doing our best to follow. With all of the permits, passports, visas, luggage fees, airline ticket, 2 week quarantine, and then the first year of their lives was over $220,000 that the partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries gave to Israel to help their people come home.
Glory be to God. Now remember, heaven has it written down that each one of you did the whole thing. And this is not the only time we've done this. And take care of them for the first year. I am totally, completely, absolutely, and irrevocably convinced that this is why, right in the middle of this pandemic, 2019, 2020, and 2021 has been the most outstanding years financially in the history of this ministry. We will end 2021 at an all-time financial high, more than we have ever received in its history in 1 year. And that's one of the reasons why. Everything has just gone ahead and gone up and up and up. Amen. And for instance, 2020, we had, I believe it was 93 nations online. And then 2021, had over 100 nations, something like that. But at Southwest in 2021, we had 401,000 households online. Now, also, we were the only event in Bogota, Colombia. The only one. And during that time, we had 45 million households online. The Hispanic-speaking people were online to hear the word of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And back when I was at Oral Roberts University, at one day I came home from school. I said, Gloria, the Lord's been trying to speak to me all day long. I'm going down there at the riverbed, which was only just across the street from us. And there's water in it. Most of the time isn't nearly dry. I said, I'm just going down there and pray for a while. Well, the Lord started talking to me about nations and, dear Lord, I didn't have enough money to get out of sight, much less go to nations. And just, you know, all of this nations in a day. And that's when he said, and he closed it. He said, your wife is precious to me. I have given her to you. She is to you what temper is to steel. Well, I had metal class when I was in high school. It was my favorite. And I learned how to temper steel, making tools and so forth. And, get it red hot and then put stainless steel is brittle. But you put it in clean oil and it runs the colors. Now, you know what tempered glass is. Tempered glass is a glass that won't break. It'll just shatter. And he said, she is to you what temper is to steel. And it was a great day, but I didn't have any understanding what he's talking about. Now I do. Because of the internet and then the Victory Channel on Dish and Direct and all other kind of cables and everything else. And it is recorded in heaven that you, dear one, made it happen. Not me, not Gloria, not Pastor George, not Pastor Terry, not Pastor Gene, not Flashpoint. Flashpoint will be live tonight. What is Flashpoint? It is that point where a thing or a person goes into action. And the flashpoint of most Christians is way too low. We need to get our flashpoint up high. Not to blow up in anger. No, no. But come to that place where we're practicing and we're practicing Christians. We're not just observant Christians. We practice. Glory to God. Amen. So, pay very close attention to the 2020 Covenant Partner Report. We do not call you partners. We call you covenant partners because I have covenanted with you to write you a letter every 30 days. I have covenanted with you to pray for you every day, and so has the rest of this ministry, and we have kept that promise. Glory to God. Amen. That you want to watch this Covenant Partner Report. Are you ready? Now, you've got something to write on? There's some figures you want to write down. Because you have equal part in all of this. Particularly in the souls won, the capabilities of the ministry, and so forth. Amen. Okay, watch.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor George Pearsons, CEO of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And this is my daughter, Aubrey Oaks. When the word of the Lord came for 2020, the year of new visions, manifest power, and great change, little did we know what was in store for our great nation and our world, let alone all the amazing things God had in store for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. What a year 2020 was.
And there were many unexpected turns and mountains that we seemed to face, yet through it all, there was an abundance of wonderful things God did through this ministry to connect with you, our partners, because you're family. And what a large family we have.
Yes, it is a very large family. We have over 100,000 financially engaged partners. You are family. But what is partnership? Partnership speaks to faith, finances, commitment, and very importantly, desire. It's a covenant, and we are in covenant with you.
So remember, what God does for us, He can do for you. The same blessing we receive by faith is available to you. You can draw on the same anointing we flow in here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And what we've been able to accomplish here, especially during a year like 2020, you can accomplish in your own lives and ministries.
So join Aubrey and me as we take you on a journey of our Fort Worth Ministry campus, a behind-the-scenes look to review some of what God did this past year. And it's only made possible because of your faithful partnership. Faith never stops.
And grace always finds a way. I'm here in our Partner Service Center where we are ready to pray the prayer of faith with you because we want your story to be one of victory. After all, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. My mom, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson, has a vision for prayer everywhere. And that's why here at KCM and Eagle Mountain International Church, as a ministry, we never stop praying. It's a top priority in everything we do. And because faith never stops praying, the KCM Partner Service Center has extensive hours and we've added more licensed prayer ministers to our team. We've prayed with approximately 400,000 callers this year and we've seen some amazing testimonies of instant miracles, family restorations, and suddenlies where healings are concerned, including testimonies of miraculous deliverances from COVID. Say it with me, COVID-19 is defeated. Not only did we receive your phone calls, but more than 900,000 written responses in prayer were mailed out directly to you. In these unprecedented times, we believe that the body of Christ has to unite together in prayer. That's why in 2020, we began Morning Prayer, our live, interactive daily program. Since launching Morning Prayer, we have seen a 566% increase in viewership. What an honor and a blessing it is to connect with you in faith and prayer, and the results have been phenomenal.
I came to work at KCM in 1976. Before my very first victory campaign, my job was to load the free materials into boxes. The Lord told me, "You're packing spiritual weapons." Our distribution center didn't look like this in those days, but look at it now, and we are still sending out spiritual weapons. The Lord commissioned Brother Copeland to get the word out on every available voice, and the word is always flowing out from this distribution center. About 400,000 pieces of mail go out these doors every month, and in 2020 alone, we distributed 1.3 million various products and mailed over 3 million Believers' Voice of Victory magazines to 159 countries all over the world. Then there's the monthly highlight for every partner. It's Brother Copeland's partner letter. Every month, Brother Copeland gives these letters the same prayer and dedication he does to a sermon preached live. You better believe he has his partners in his heart. Last year, almost 3 million of those precious partner letters were mailed out. Since 1984, because of the gospel we've preached, along with other ministries we support, there have been 128,011,195 salvations. Praise God! In 2020 alone, 1,550,227 souls came into the kingdom through KCM and our partner ministries. Over 11,000 new salvation packages were sent from this place. Praise God for all those lives eternally changed. Also, from this great distribution center, life-changing products are sown into the lives of those who are incarcerated. We received over 2,400 letters a month from prisoners, and more than 20,000 inmates received ministry through KCM just last year. Frequently, we receive letters saying, "You're the only ministry that writes to me." This past year, over 400,000 products went to chaplains and nearly 9,000 went directly to prisoners, and of course, all with no charge. Now, these prisoners are empowered to affect society for Jesus. Remember, this is your seed multiplied in the lives of others. In fact, I'm pleased to share that together, last year, our twice-sown seed went to 73 ministries, totaling $12,235,885. Glory to God! What a team we have! Kenneth Copeland Ministries truly believes in the principle of sowing, and we live by it. At least 10% of every contribution we receive is in turn sown into ministries and works around the world. so your giving becomes a twice-sown seed.
One of the many partnerships that we're excited about is with Kenton Pate Ministries. Many of our soldiers come back from war carrying deep emotional wounds. For some, this leads down a road of despair, sometimes violence, and possibly incarceration. Kenton Pate Ministries is transforming lives by providing a path to emotional healing for veterans and their families. Your seed is helping this unique ministry change the lives of veterans who otherwise might have been forgotten. Since January 1st, 1993, the mission field for Dean Sykes has been to reach the hearts of teenagers with the message, no matter where you are, what language you speak, you were created on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. You matter. To date, Dean Sykes has spoken at over 3,600 events and reached over 2.4 million teens in 8 nations of the world. His ministry has seen over 289,000 students give their hearts to the Lord, and over 91,000 teens have signed their I Matter pledge, choosing life over death by suicide. During 2020, in spite of a global pandemic, Dean was able to minister 142 times in high schools, teen challenge centers, and youth conventions. Not only that, but the deployment of the You Matter virtual assembly that was sent to over 250 high schools across America and South Africa. Your twice-sown seed matters. And the hope of coming home. This past October, through your partnership, Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Eagle Mountain International Church paid the entire cost of relocating 50 French Jews to a new home in Israel. With anti-Semitism and persecution escalating, France was no longer a safe place for many Jewish families. KCM and EMIC paid all costs for the chartered plane, passports, and the assimilation process during their first year living in Israel. This is prophecy fulfilled, and you were a part of making that happen. Faith never stops teaching, and when so much of this world and our nation was completely shut down, canceled even, we were not. Our victory campaigns, Branson, Sacramento, and others all went virtual, live from right here on the campus of Revival Capital of the World. Those local meetings were suddenly global, with on average nearly 90 countries watching via the Victory Channel and social media outlets. Eagle Mountain International Church faced the same challenges and with the same spirit of faith. First, there were virtual services, and then onto something a little bit noisy, but very exciting, the EMIC drive-ins.
Honk amen, somebody!
Of course, we couldn't leave out the kids and the teens. So service mode became TV production mode for EMIC Super Kids and 1440, which quickly became online programs. Your partnership with the EMIC congregation helped make all of these moves happen. So of course, when life gives you lemons, Super Kids make lemonade, lemon cookies, and lemon pie. Hi, is that for me? It pays to partner with Super Kids.
That's fun.
All of us at KCM were truly looking forward to a long-awaited return to sunny California with the 2020 West Coast Believers Convention. But of course, COVID interfered. And since faith never stops preaching, neither did we. So the Faith for Freedom Tent Revival was born. A great old-time tent was erected right here on the Revival Capital campus. By August, the door was open for the Southwest Believers Convention to happen on schedule and in the convention center. The blessing of the Lord surpassed every expectation and spilled over into life-changing impact for the city of Fort Worth. Our convention was the first and only 2020 event in the convention center since COVID restrictions even began. The excitement of such an event drew TV audiences from 133 countries, making this our greatest globally impacting convention ever.
You probably recognize where I'm sitting right now. I'm on the set of Flashpoint, one of the most popular live shows Victory launched this year. Other live programming, including America Stands, election coverage, morning prayer, and Victory Update, gave our network fresh, cutting-edge programming that has turned heads even in the secular broadcast industry. With your help, there's more to come. Because of your financial partnership, we were able to completely donate the airtime to our more than 28 programmers. And this year's Victory-Thon results were absolutely outstanding. People in all 50 states and more than 65 nations couldn't stop watching Jesse Duplantis and 58 fired up preachers. Who knew TV could be so much fun while making the way to better preach the word of faith? The over $7 million that came in from that Victory-Thon expanded the Victory footprint, which includes Dish TV, DirecTV, Roku, and all social media platforms. Your faith and your finances made that happen.
Kenneth Copeland's assignment was worldwide from the beginning. Imagine the thrill when KCM took possession of the newly upgraded G5 Intercontinental Jet. Of course, we'd love to give you an up-close and personal look here in our hangar, but the G5 is out doing exactly what God designed it to do, to take the message of faith all around the world. Did you know in the history of KCM Aviation, we have made significant contributions, purchased outright, or sewn one of our own planes into other ministries that have partnered with us? In 2020 alone, we were able to financially partner with five other ministries in their aviation outreach, increasing the capacity for the gospel to be preached around the world. Of course, you may not need an airplane to carry out God's call on your life, but there's always some essential tool that will be needful for your personal journey. Maybe you're believing for a house or a car, or if you're a pastor, you may need a new bus or a new building. As a giving partner, you are able to tap into the same rewards that this ministry experiences, and it is the Lord's will to do for you what He's done for us in 2020. While once only a dream, Kenneth Copeland Bible College became a reality. Not only did it become a reality, but at the Southwest Believers Convention, we graduated our first class of 101 students from our two-year program. What an honor to see so many graduates realize their own dreams and become the next available voices to take the gospel around the world.
When the world is hurting, the church is there to bring hope, to bring peace, to bring strength, and to bring faith. Our heart is to preach the uncompromised word of faith to people, and it has been an honor in 2020 to be able to help people through this pandemic and COVID-19. But here we are, 2021, and it is the year of the local church. It's the year of divine healing, the year of divine health, the year of divine prosperity, and the year of divine recovery. We are going to take back everything that the devil stole from us, and we're going to walk in total victory.
The year of the local church. Glory to God. That's where the glory is going to fall next year, is in the local churches that are preaching and teaching and healing and going strong with the word of faith and glorifying God. Hallelujah.
We trust you've enjoyed our 2020 trip through Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
No, Dad and I had a great time showing you around our Fort Worth campus.
And we want you to know that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is committed to preaching and teaching the Word of Faith. Kenneth and Gloria, our staff, Aubrey, Pastor Terry and I, thank you for all that you've done to help us accomplish this mission.
Never allow your faith to waver and always allow grace to make a way. And 2020 was truly the year of change and manifested power. But 2021 will be a year of glory, a year of preaching, teaching, and healing, and it will be the year of the local church.
Because you never stop praying, believing, and giving, you make it possible. So, remember this.
God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
You got that picture?
What's that?
You got the picture of the picture?
Oh, yeah. Let's show the mosaic picture.
Now, when you get up close to that, that's my favorite picture. Now, watch it. Here it comes. Thank you. It's right there. It's huge. It's a big picture made up of your picture. The picture of our partners from all over the world. Amen.
Praise God.
Isn't that wonderful?
That really is something.
Now, let me remind you again. Out beside your name in heaven, since 1984, Brother Copeland, I didn't become a partner for the last year. Well, that's when you joined the team. It's still there. You're still part of the team. See, in the spirit realm, there's no time nor distance. And once you step into that time era, you're part of the team going back to the front all the way through. Out beside your name, you have won 128,011,195 people to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And in 2020, 1,550,000 plus in 2020.
Glory to God.
Now, I'm looking forward to knowing what it is in 2021, because this has been huge year.
Massive year.
Just
massive year.
Huge year.
You know, I wanted to give you a quick update from Israel that just took place. We were watching this great report that Julie gave about the French Jews.
Yeah.
But since that time, on Wednesday, October 6, 2021, the partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the congregation of EMIC flew 120 Jews from Ukraine to Israel.
Yeah.
With your support, we linked arms with the Karen Hyasod United Israel Appeal. These Ukrainian Jews made what is called Aliyah, the relocation of Jews back to their homeland. The flight arrived at Ben-Gurion Airport on the evening of October 6th. KCM and EMIC's Israel liaison, Julie Cerrone, and her daughter Lily were there to welcome them home. The partners of KCM, the congregation of EMIC, paid for their entire trip. The cost included their assimilation program and housing for 1 year. Their first assignment will be to learn Hebrew and their covenant with God. And the miraculous event took place during the same week that marked the 80th anniversary of Babi Yar massacre. Over a two-day period in 1941, the Nazis murdered more than 33,000 Jews from Kiev.
Yes.
80 years later, the Ukrainian Jews are returning to their homeland.
Praise God.
The partners and the congregation are blessed because they're helping to fulfill prophecy. Ezekiel 11:17, I, the sovereign Lord, will gather you back from the nations where you've been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel once again. And the two young men in the picture, as well as all that were returning Jews, carried signs that read, Karen Hyasod and the Jewish Agency for Israel thank the Eagle Mountain Church and the Kenneth Copeland Ministries for supporting the Aliyah flight from Ukraine. Mm. And that is the latest flight that took place. And Brother Copeland, there are more flights to come.
Yes, there are.
Through our ministry.
Thank God.
Praise God.
And the more we do that, the more we expand.
The more we,
our finances just keep growing and growing and growing.
That is a major reason why we have grown the way this year.
So now, what I'm endeavoring by the Spirit of God for you to grasp. Take advantage of this in your own finances. You are part of Aliyah. You're part of Aliyah for the French Jews. You're part of Aliyah for the Ukrainian Jews. Now, Gloria and I were there. We have full-time offices in the Ukraine. We have been there. We dedicated churches there. We dedicated a church in Latvia. The first new building built, and the first one ever built new as a church in Latvia. Amen. And you see Rick Renner on the Victory Channel? He pastored those churches. Now he pastors in Moscow. Glory to God. Well, so do you.
Praise God. Praise.
So do you. And we had, I asked people, We bought Bibles for all the members of the church in Latvia. And you know, I'm used to saying, you have your Bible with you. And I said, if you have your Bible with you, hold it up. They didn't hold it up. They jumped up and screamed. And one man said, just as loud as he could shout it, Latvia has only been free the last 25 years out of 900. But we're free and we have Bibles and we'll never be taken over again.
Glory to God.
And you bought the Bibles and you helped pay for the material of the church. Amen. So that should have an outstanding effect on your financial life, on your health, on everything that has to do with anything about your entire life as a partner of this ministry. Glory to God. And you have a church in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, we're out in the country. We're country folks. And you know the country has come to us. All of a sudden, everybody wants out there. That place is so blessed.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I mean, on our property, they cut more hay than they do in everybody. It is blessed. And we walk around the property and just bless the thing. And I've wondered a lot of times why 1,500 acres. I mean, but you know, it was a naval air station operated by the Marine Corps in World War II. Well, glory to God, it has an airport on it. And we're soldiers in the army of the Lord, so, you know.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, George. I get carried away.
At the beginning of the service, I had everybody raise their hand who was a partner. Nearly every hand was raised. But we want to make sure that if there's anyone here who would like to be a partner today with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I want you to stand up. If you'd like to be a partner, just stand up and one of our ushers will bring you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Praise God. Yes.
One of our ushers will bring to you a packet, partnership packet. And please remain standing as they do that. And then also those of you that are watching us right now, the information is up on the screen. If you'd like to become a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you can call 877-281-6297 or you can go online kcm.org/prayer and it'll bring you to the place where you can become a partner. And then Facebook, you can submit your prayer request in the chat, but also you can let them know that you would like to become a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And we welcome you. We're thrilled for you. And we're grateful for all that you're doing. All of the partners here. All the partners here. And as a matter of fact, let's all stand up together. You are all part now of what you've seen today.
Oral Roberts' procedure, he would give an invitation whether we were in the tent or in large auditoriums like in Cobo Hall in Detroit and so forth. And then he would pray over the people that answered the call. And there, as you know, there were thousands of people. But then his procedure, he would leave there and come to the invalid room where he would pray for people that were very sick. And very sick people around large crowds is a pretty nerve-wracking thing. They had a table that stood up about this tall, and he had all of his partners on microfiche, and he would lay hands on those and pray for all of his partners while he was still under the anointing, and then he would come into the invalid room, and then I had part of that, and so he would lay hands on the microfiche. I carry you in my pocket. And that is a 1978 South African solid gold Cougaran coin, because you're solid gold to me. And all of my partners' names are right there. So I just carry you around in my pocket. And I say, praise God, there they are, right there. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want to pray for you all and receiving the new partners and all the rest. I've prayed this prayer for many, many years at every partner service. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you today. And I receive the new partners into this ministry. And I pray for all of my partners, my longtime partners, wherever they are, all over the world. And in the name of Jesus, Father, for my partners, all of them that have family outside the kingdom of God, I'm asking you, Lord, to move on that family. In the name of Jesus, Satan, we bind you, and Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the field with the word of their salvation, the word of their healing, the word of whatever it is that that family needs, and they'll just come running into the kingdom of God. To all of my partners that have children that they haven't heard from, Lord, have those children call in today and contact their parents. And I believe it. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, move your angels around those children and urge them to call home. Glory to God. Yes. Thank you for that. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that, Lord. Yes. Yeah, there's a family. Your son is in the military, and you haven't heard from him in a long time. Well, he's going to call you. He's going to call you or email you either today or tomorrow. Praise God. And I want to hear about it when it happens. Glory to God. Thank you. And there's more than one of those. And for all of our partners, Lord, that some of their family, they're incarcerated someplace in jail for prison for some reason or other. I'm asking you, oh God, to move in that prison through our materials, through other people's materials, and cause that son or that daughter not only to get saved but filled with the Spirit, and all of them that it's your will call to preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for all of our partners in the military all over the world, all of our first responders. Yeah, I remember that, Lord. I was thinking about a policeman as a partner of ours. And he said, Copeland, he said, I was on night duty, and he said, I got a call in on the radio about a burglar, robber. And he said they were saying that he was in one area. But he said, by the Spirit of God, he said, I told my partner, I said, no, he's not over there. I know where he is. He said, how do you know? He said, well, I just know. So he said, we went in the opposite direction, and the guy was about two blocks down from where we were. We pulled over there and arrested him and took him in. Spirit of God. Partners. Angels. Don't discount your angels. Glory to God. And oh, Father, all of our partners that work for someone else, I'm asking you to give them promotion. I'm asking you to give them witty inventions. I'm asking you to show them things that'll come right on up, right on up, right on up, till they own that company, if it be your will, or to leave and start their own company. Then those that have been hit hard through this pandemic, but not having enough supply and so forth, Father, I'm asking you to just prosper them anyway. Just cause customers just to come off from all over the place. to the point where people will come up and say, I don't understand it. How did you prosper when we didn't? And our partners will say, well, let me tell you, his name is Jesus. Glory to God. All of our partners that are pastors of churches, I'm asking you to cause that church to grow and cause people to come from all over, that they find out that's their sheepfold and they'll move in there just to go to that church, just to hear the word of faith, a place that healing is right up front, a place where the gifts of the Spirit is not in a back room somewhere, but right up front, right up, right on the platform all the time. So that the Spirit of God can be seen in manifestation in that church.
Thank you.
That the nine fruit of the Spirit and the nine gifts of the Spirit, the great 18, can be manifest in their churches. And we thank you for it. We give you praise and honor and glory for it. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we have prayed this every partner service. Gloria and I declared this at the very beginning of this ministry. Oh, Father, that we would keep this ministry pure, to keep it pure on the Word, to keep it pure financially, and to keep it pure sexually. And we thank God, with your help, we've done it. And we praise you, and we thank you for it. And now I bless my partners. Be blessed. Be healed. Be well. Amen. Now, a blessing needs a receiver. Amen. Anybody open? Be blessed. Be blessed.
Hallelujah.
Be blessed. Receive it. Take it. It's yours. My grandson, Jonathan Copeland, is an outstanding college quarterback. But he isn't worth anything without a receiver.
That's right.
And he's one of those young men that has game sense. He just seems to know where the receiver is. Well, he's been raised on the Holy Ghost. Amen.
That's right.
And I don't, it's not bragging, it's fact. He's good. Amen. He's good. But he's no good without a receiver. He's just somebody throwing a football if he doesn't have a receiver. So,
thank you.
Believe you receive it and you shall have it. Believe you take it and you shall have it. When you pray, believe you receive it. When you pray, believe you receive. When? When you pray. When you pray, receive it. When you pray, receive it. When you pray, receive it. When you pray, take it. When you pray, say, it's mine. Glory to God. I take it.
Praise God.
I believe I will. I believe I will. I take it. I have it. I thank you for it. And I forgive if I have aught against any. Glory to God.
Praise God.